Coming up on the Locked On Sabres podcast, a quick look back at a disastrous performance by the Sabres to open up their West Coast road trip in Edmonton. And then we'll take a look at Sabres Flames and the Calgary Flames being a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. That is all coming your way next on the Locked On Sabres podcast.
Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Sabres your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Joe DiBiase here on the show today. Do I have to apologize for not having the recap show for Sabres and Oilers up right away for the morning? So actually, I was filling in for Brian Koziol doing the broadcast on WGR and the Sabres Radio Network, and I didn't get out of there till 12:30. And I tend to try to have those post-game reports, post-game shows more so, up for you on the morning after. But I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, I just talked about this game for an hour. I've been watching it for 3 hours. I mean, I just can't do it. It was just such a deflating performance. And we'll go through a little bit of what happened in the Sabres and Oilers game, but then we'll focus in on Sabres and Flames. We'll try to move past it, burn the tape, part three in Edmonton. And we'll take a look at the Sabres matchup against a legitimate force in the Calgary Flames that they will see on Friday night at 9 o'clock. But starting with the Oilers game, was there anything positive to go on? Anything positive? By the way, before I get rambling on that, at Sneaky Joe Sports to follow me on Twitter, at Locked On Sabres is the podcast account, at JR Hanskin to follow Jordan. And be sure to check out our YouTube channel, Locked On Sabres on YouTube, where you can now watch the show, where we do it every day. And also be sure to like and subscribe the podcast wherever you may be listening. Would greatly appreciate that. It does a lot for us behind the scenes. So appreciate those that have already done that. And yet, so nothing positive to go on at all. 6-1. It could have been 9-0. It could have been 9-0 that easily. It was just a brutal performance. And can we just move past it? Like Connor McDavid, the one thing I will say about it, Connor McDavid had his way with Matias Samuelsson. He did whatever he wanted all night. Odd man rushes, breakaways, the speed difference was stark. And I have liked Matias Samuelsson a lot since he debuted in the NHL after not liking him as a draft pick and not liking him as a prospect. He's played really well. And Don Granato put him in a tough position. And you know what? Granato has had success doing this with guys like Cousins and Dahlin and Joki Haru, where he puts them in the toughest positions possible so that they'll make the mistakes and then they'll learn from them. Now, the reason I think this situation is different and why I would have done it a different way is I don't think Samuelsson has much to learn from playing Connor McDavid, because it's just a natural gift that McDavid has that Samuelsson doesn't in skating ability. McDavid is the fastest skater on the planet, and I think the best skater of all time in the NHL. Samuelsson is swift, but he's like an ocean freight. He's like an ocean freight container. I mean, he moves well on his edges, but there's no quickness at all. There isn't this burst, this quick burst that McDavid has. There's no way Samuelsson, I think, will ever be able to keep up with a player like Connor McDavid. I would have liked to see Rasmus Dahlin in that matchup, have him learn from the experience of, again, going up against a McDavid, having the foot speed to keep up with him, knowing, you know, where to be in your gaps, what angles to take on a player like that. I think it's just a tough ask for Samuelsson ever to have to play against a player like that. And McDavid really took advantage of him. So that would be my one critique of Don Granato for that game. But there really just not much else to talk about that was positive. The Sabres could not get the puck out of their own end. The defensemen could not get it up to the forwards. The forwards did not appear to have their legs. I don't know if that was the West Coast travel. They had 4 days off. But you know what? That result is good for the Sabres in one way, because it's bad for the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas beat Florida 5-3 last night. The Oilers keep pace. They stay above Vegas in the standings by getting the 2 points over the Sabres. Dallas, by the way, beats Montreal in a shootout, so they keep pace with the Golden Knights as well. So that race in the Pacific Division and for the wild card in the West, Vegas holds it by 1 point, but Dallas still 4 games behind, and Edmonton remains above the Golden Knights. Jack Eichel, by the way, left the Golden Knights game early. He actually had got injured twice in the game. He fell awkwardly, took a hard collision in the first period. He kind of looked like he bent his neck a little bit, and that's what everybody was reacting to immediately. He went to the bench, talked to the trainer, took his helmet off, stretched it out a little bit. He came back onto the ice. Then in the second period, he blocked a shot with his hand. He was in a lot of distress. He tried to come back for a shift or two, and then he had to leave. Could not play the rest of the third period. There's no update on his status at this point. So Eichel, add him to the list of injured Vegas Golden Knights. Robin Lehner, former Sabre, who was Vegas' goaltender, who in my last episode I really spoke on the importance of to the Golden Knights season. Jesse Granger of The Athletic reported that it's possible Robin Lehner could miss the rest of the season, and that he's at least going to be out a while longer, but it could be the rest of the season. So the Golden Knights, even though they got the win, they lose Jack Eichel, and they are headed in, the teams around them won, so they're headed straight down in the standings, which is good for the Sabres' first round pick, which currently stays at the 15th overall selection, but could get a little bit higher. All right, we'll move past Sabres and Oilers. We'll talk about Sabres and Flames when we come back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast, and that will include a betting preview. I've got some of the betting lines, some of the betting trends for Sabres and Flames. The Sabres are as big an underdog as you will ever see in the NHL. And it's that time of year again to bet on college basketball's tournament. That is finally upon us. You've got the NHL. From all the latest odds, contests, and player props, betonline.net is the number one source for all your sports betting needs and info. BetOnline remains the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. It's not just basketball or hockey. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thanks for making Locked On Sabres your first listen every day. On Monday, March 21st, this coming Monday at 3:30 p.m., tune into Locked On Fantasy Hockey's live deadline reaction show to get all the on-ice fantasy and betting analysis you need from host Steele Roden and Flip Livingstone, with appearances from our roster of local team experts. Sabres and Flames tonight. It's a 9 o'clock puck drop Eastern time, so another Sabres after dark affair. And the Sabres, they have a big challenge on their hands. Not only is it the second of a back-to-back, but they are legitimately facing one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. You might not watch a lot of Flames hockey. They're not on national TV a ton here in Buffalo on ESPN or on TNT. But Daryl Sutter, in as the head back as the head coach, is the favorite to be the coach of the year, the Jack Adams Award. They have 81 points in 60 games. That is a 5-point difference between them and second in the Pacific Division, which is the Kings at 76 points. The Flames also have 3 games in hand. So they are a monster favorite to win the Pacific Division. They are on their way to winning the Pacific Division, where they will play the number one wildcard team, because Colorado is 10 points above Calgary for first place in the West. That's how good Colorado is, by the way. As good as Calgary is, and they're in second in the entire Western Conference with 81 points, Colorado is 10 points above them. So as it would stand today, Calgary would play Nashville in the first round of the playoffs, but they will play that number one wildcard team. The Flames in the numbers are legit. Second in expected goals for percentage, second in Corsi for percentage in the entire NHL, first in scoring chances for, first in high danger scoring chances for, fourth in save percentage. Johnny Gaudreau, in a contract year, is having a career season. 79 points in 60 games played. They have 4 guys that are either close to or already at 30 goals this season. I spoke on a couple episodes ago the rarity of the Sabres having 2 30-goal scorers. Tage Thompson, Jeff Skinner currently on pace for 30 goals. No one has done that for the Sabres in a decade since Thomas Vanek and Drew Stafford did it. Calgary is going to have 4, and they could have 4. I mean, they could have 4 by tonight. Elias Lindholm, 30 goals and 63 points on the season. Andrew Mangiapane, 30 goals in 60 games played this season. Matthew Tkachuk, 28 goals. He's got two more to get to 30 with 22 games to play. Johnny Gaudreau, 27 goals. They're going to have four 30-goal scorers by the time that this is all set. So they've got scorers. They've got elite offensive talent up front. Their blue line, they're not missing Mark Giordano, who is now in Seattle, as much as you might think. Rasmus Anderson, not a household name, has developed into a reliable top pair defenseman, and he's young still at 25 years old, so there might be even more growth there for him. He leads the Flames in ice time with 22 minutes and 26 seconds per game. Noah Hanifin, 20 minutes and 53 seconds per game, has been a really steady top four defenseman as well, and they added Chris Tanev from the Vancouver Canucks. Was that this past offseason or the year before? That was the year before. So this is his second season in Calgary. So an addition from last year that is playing really well for the Flames as well. Anderson, by the way, leads all blue liners for Calgary with 37 points in 60 games played. They don't have that franchise defenseman. They just kind of have, it's very 06-07 Sabres-esque, where they just have six second pair defensemen. Now the Sabres had Brian Campbell at that time. So he was an all-star. He was a legitimate top pair defenseman. So really they had one top pair defenseman. They had five second pair defensemen with your Newmanins and your Spotchucks and your Talinders and your Ludmans. That is kind of how this Calgary blue line is built. Although I wouldn't, do they have the Brian Campbell? Maybe Anderson or Hanifin are close to that, but them as a top pair, Anderson and Hanifin have been really strong. Oliver Kylington, filling him with Chris Tanev, has been a really good second pair. And then our old friend Nikita Zadorov on the third pair with Eric Gabranson is a nice third physical pairing that's been, you know, they don't play a ton for the Calgary Flames, but what are they, around 16, 17 minutes a night? Yeah, Zadorov is at 17 minutes, Gabranson 18 minutes a night. So a good steady blue line all the way through. And then in net, they're fourth in the NHL in save percentage, as I just went through. Jacob Markstrom, who is their horse. Like, there are not many teams in the NHL nowadays that rely upon one star goaltender. It's usually a 1A, 1B system, even where you have a lot of these teams where you have really all-star goalies. Jacob Markstrom has started 47 of 60 games. He's tracking towards starting 60-plus games, which, again, is pretty rare nowadays in the NHL. Markstrom is seventh in the NHL in 5-on-5 save percentage. Daniel Vladar, who they acquired from Boston in the offseason, he is their backup with a 903 save percentage. So just a steady backup, nothing spectacular. But again, not asked to play a lot because he's only played 13 games on the season. This is just a complete unit all the way through. It does actually, to me, have 05-06 Sabre vibes. Markstrom is their Miller, although he's a veteran, so that's a difference. The blue line is kind of built the same way as I just went through, and they don't really have these elite McDavid, McKinnon, Crosby types, but they've just got a couple of star players all over the lineup. Lindholm and Gaudreau and Tkachuk and Mangiapane and Tyler Toffoli. I'll just go through their line combinations for what you're going to see tonight against the Sabres. And they have depth all the way through. Now, this is the way the daily faceoff list their lines. So like, they've got Sean Monahan listed as a fourth liner. I'm actually not privy enough to their team to know if that's actually the case. I know his ice time has come way down this season. So actually, it probably is correct because he's at 14 minutes a night and only 22 points. That's the one guy that has just kind of disappeared for them. Sean Monahan, after, you know, first 5 years in the league, he's averaging 30 goals a season and 60 plus points. I mean, he's shot. He's 27 years old and he's shot. It's kind of, he's hit the wall really early, earlier than most guys hit it. 22 points in 60 games played for him. But anyways, the Calgary lineup tonight will look as such. Elias Lindholm centering Matthew Tkachuk and Johnny Gaudreau on the first line. Cal Yarncroc, who they just acquired in a trade from the Seattle Kraken, will center the second line with Tyler Toffoli and Andrew Mangiapane. The third line, Michael Backlund, centering Trevor Lewis and Blake Coleman. And then the fourth line, Sean Monahan with Milan Lucic. Remember him? Milan Lucic and Dylan Dubé. That is what you're looking at for the Calgary forwards tonight. And that lineup, that group facing a Sabres group that is expected to look the same as last night. Maybe we see John Hayden in for somebody. the Flames are a massive favorite, as big a favorite as you will ever see in the NHL. Calgary, minus 400 over at betonline.net. The Sabres, plus 347. On the puck line, the Sabres plus a goal and a half are plus 140. Calgary at minus a goal and a half is minus 160. And the over-under is 6.5. The Flames are 30-26-5 on the over this season. The Sabres are right down the middle, 28-28-5. I don't love going for a minus 400 team in the NHL. It's just you're not getting enough bang for your buck. And I can't bet on the Sabres right now, so I'm going to avoid the money line. The puck line, kind of similarly, I guess I don't expect the Sabres to keep this close on the second of a back-to-back after getting run down by Vegas or by Edmonton last night. So I don't love the Sabres at plus a goal and a half, even with the plus money at 140. And Calgary, I'd love to say that my favorite bet here is them on the puck line, but minus 160, I hate minus money on the puck line. So I think I'm avoiding that too. I think my favorite bet for tonight is the over-under. It's the Flames and the Sabres on the over 6.5 goals. You're going to see Dustin Tokarski in net tonight. It's very possible the Flames get near that over-under total by themselves because of the firepower they have. And we saw Edmonton just do it to the Sabres last night. So the trends would tell you that a little bit skewed in favor of the over for Calgary because 30-26-5 on the over this season. I think my favorite bet tonight, although I don't love any of them a lot, would be the Flames on the over if you're looking for some action in tonight's game. Sabres and Flames, a 9 o'clock puck drop. We'll be here to talk about it after the fact, and then we've got a late game in Vancouver Sunday at 10 o'clock. So we'll talk to you after Sabres and Flames. Enjoy the game tonight. This has been the Locked On Sabres podcast with Joe DiBiase previewing tonight's game. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Make your second listen Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Steel Roden and Flip Livingstone help you become the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts.